Welcome back on QR Calgary and More Than Money. And we've been talking about inflation and all the impacts there. And what else has come up is this Alberta Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't spend a lot of time focusing on Alberta issues when it comes to people's retirement portfolios. I'm spending more of my time reading what's happening globally than what's happening locally. And that's just because of the job that I have. But when this popped up, we had a nice discussion in my office about the Bill of Rights. Leanna, what are your thoughts about it?
That's right. Well, it's going to be very interesting when they actually table this thing because they're attempting to legislate a whole bunch of stuff that they don't actually have control over.
Interesting.
So
good idea, bad idea?
Ineffective idea, potentially.
Ineffective idea. Okay. Well, that's what we have to bring on the experts to tell us the proper view behind all of this. And the Bill of Rights, Lori Williams, political scientist, Mount Royal University. Lori, welcome back on the show.
Great to be with you, Faisal.
And sum it up for us. Bill of Rights, good idea, bad idea for Alberta?
Well, it's clearly a political move. Leanna has pointed out quite correctly that some of the things that are in there are not within the jurisdiction of the provincial government. A lot of it looks like it came from somewhere else, notably certain players in the United States where things are very different. States have their own criminal codes in the United States. They don't have them here. Again, a lot of ideas that look like they've been imported from another context, and the reason for even introducing it here or the effectiveness of introducing it here, I think, is open to question. So it's more political than or performative than substantive.
So let's put on our political hats. Why would they even think about doing this? Who are they trying to help or promote when it comes to the political side of this?
Well, we all know that the annual general meeting for the UCP is coming up in November, and there's a scheduled leadership review as part of that annual general meeting. There's a very vocal, very organized wing of the United Conservative Party that's really been trying to push an agenda that is associated with a much further right position. To some degree, it's even inconsistent within its own ranks because there are libertarians there and social conservatives, and libertarians want less government and the social conservatives in some areas want more. But those are the folks that could do to Danielle Smith what they did to Jason Kenney, and she's clearly preparing for that. These town halls that she's been holding around the province are in part directed to that as well. And it just illustrates the difficulty of trying to govern in Alberta when you've got to try to placate and satisfy a small, very vocal and well-organized group on the far right, and also try to win the votes of folks that are in the middle.
So Lori, for those people who maybe don't know or haven't heard about the Alberta Bill of Rights, what do we think that it might contain when she tables it?
Well, we have a pretty good idea already. A couple of the things that I think people are paying a lot of attention to are broadly the idea of parental rights. You know, why you put that in there, why that would make any difference given some of the other legislation is an open question. But there are a couple of provisions in the Bill of Rights that again, look very much like things that we see in the United States. One talks about having the right to defend your property. It looks a lot like a stand your ground kind of provision, which again is not going to fly given Canadian constitutional law, court decisions, and so forth. It's just not going to work the way I think some of the folks that have written it are anticipating that it will. And the other, of course, is on gun ownership. And guns are clearly federal jurisdiction. It's been that way absolutely without question because the criminal code is a federal matter. There have been court cases challenging this out of Alberta in the past on the Firearms Act, the Federal Firearms Act. Absolutely no question about where the jurisdiction lies on this. So again, it'd be quite ineffective, as you've noted.
So knowing that a lot of this stuff is going to be ineffective, and we've got a well-organized group or groups that are trying to push this agenda, if it's not going to be effective, why go through all this? Why have all this political dancing going on when it's not going to be effective? What are they trying to change?
Well, I think some of it's motivated by people who don't understand the Constitution or the legal system in Canada. And in some cases, because the government, surely their advisors know what the law says, what the Constitution says. Perhaps this is just a statement that is meant to sort of send a message to Ottawa and to take a stand against an unpopular federal government and unpopular laws that are associated with that federal government. It looks like the provincial government is listening to this group, and like Ottawa is not listening to them. And so the provincial government can say, again, we're fighting for you, we're doing the best that we can, and Ottawa isn't letting us. That'll work while Justin Trudeau is prime minister, while the Liberals continue in power in Ottawa. It's going to be a lot different if, as we're expecting, Pierre Poilievre becomes prime minister and the Conservatives are in control in Ottawa.
What hasn't been talked about for a while is Alberta pension plan or jumping out of the CPP. Does that have anything to do with all of these different conversations and the Bill of Rights and everything? Is that agenda still moving forward, or are we done talking about it?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. But given that the kind of pushback that has come from Albertans against the idea of an Alberta pension plan, I was actually surprised that the government was continuing down that road, given the very clear indication of opposition amongst Albertans. They may have gotten that message. They may be waiting for another time to try to revisit that particular file. But it does potentially still fit into that fight for Albertans against Ottawa sort of message that this government has gotten a lot of mileage out of historically.
Speaking of controversial decisions, I think we wanted to talk a little bit today about the Green Line project here in Calgary. Can you give us a little bit of an update about what's going on with the Green Line and the kind of debate that's being had right now?
Yeah, so I was surprised to hear today that Mayor Jyoti Gondek is seeking a meeting with Danielle Smith. I'm stunned that there hasn't been a meeting between the provincial government and the municipal government before this point. This all started with a letter, well, actually first a letter from Devin Dreeshen in July, and an assurance in the media that the provincial government could be counted on, that this money was 100% secure, it was going to be available for Calgary. And then to learn in this more recent letter, not only that the money was no longer secure, that they were no longer supporting the project as it was, there was also a little bit of a dig against Nahed Nenshi, saying the problem with the line is it's not getting value for money, it's not going far enough, we don't blame you, it's the former mayor's fault. So this looks like, at least from the provincial side, highly politicized and mismanaged, frankly, because Danielle Smith had to say a few days ago that Calgarians could trust her to be a good steward of their money. Well, if you say something is 100% guaranteed 1 month and then pull that funding that was promised less than a month later, that's not going to promote trust. It's the opposite of trust. So I think the provincial government's got a messaging problem on its hands. I think it looks like they haven't actually read the reports that are in place. I mean, they're asking why things can't be done, and the answers to those questions are in the reports. And we've got independent bodies actually saying these are the costs that will be associated with even delaying the project at this stage of the game. And it's odd that the provincial government doesn't seem to be aware of information that's been readily available. So neither government is looking particularly good at this stage of the game, but the provincial government, I think, is really backpedaling at this stage because they recognize that this has been a messaging problem for them.
Never a dull moment in Alberta, let me tell you that. Lori, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much. It's always interesting to chat.
We've been joined by Lori Williams, political scientist at Mount Royal University. Now, all these issues that come up, people think about as they transition to retirement, live in retirement, what are going to be the biggest issues that they're going to have? And should they stay even in this province with all the stuff going on? We're going to talk about how to plan for your retirement going forward at two seminars, one on September 24th, 7 p.m. in Lethbridge, and then in Calgary, October 29th, 7 p.m. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Now join us after the break. We're going to talk about whether or not you actually have more money than you thought you might for retirement and how to figure that out. Join us after the break on QR Calgary and More Than Money.